Welcome to the Blockchain Practitioners Podcast. On this podcast, we try to learn something new about an industry which will in a few years affect the lives of us all.
Welcome to the Blockchain Practitioners Podcast. Okay, we should have synchronized
one. Greatest intro ever. I thought we were doing the hey from the previous one again, but nope. So you heard it, guys. Welcome to the Blockchain Practitioners Podcast.
I think it was a good intro.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing intro. And to follow up with this great intro, without further ado, let's jump in our first topics of the day. So I'm going to speak about NFTs, the good sides and the bad sides. And Steven is going to speak about...
memes.
And Dimi is going to speak about
crimes in the metaverse.
Ooh, such nice. Exciting topics for today.
Spooky.
So, who would like to start? I'm
of course, ladies first.
Yeah, but I'm also very curious about memes. The memes that you chose to present today. What's your selection?
Okay, so I basically got a. An article from, let me just get it here, from the Cointelegraph, and that was talking about some very specific, industry-specific memes that were going around. And it was basically an article that was talking about how certain phrases were used and what they meant. But it's a beautiful reminder that this industry is very, very young and still developing. And let me just grab one. So the first thing they do is they tell us about HODL, what it means, which basically means hold on to your coins until infinity. And then you have a couple of sentences like when moon or when Lambo. And even babies know what that means, but apparently it's enough to write an article about. We also know we have to also have the question when institutional investors, because apparently having a full sentence just isn't Web3 style. And it ends with when Satoshi. And it says, expresses hope or anticipation that the true identity of pseudonymous, my Jesus, why is it so difficult to say that? Pseudonymous. The pseudonym of Bitcoin creator Satoshi Nakamoto will be revealed, because of course we don't know who Satoshi Nakamoto is in real life, although there have been plenty of people who have claimed the title. And I loved this article, which we'll probably put the link in the description. I love this article just because it's a very, very indicative of how the industry is very young, but still has its own slang, its own language, its own culture. And the fact that a lot of people are still need to be initiated into the space, and they don't even understand the jokes that people are making, much less, of course, the real technologies behind it, the stuff that we try to kind of lay bare in our podcasts.
Lay bare, wow.
Yes. So, what do you think? When Binance and when institutional investors? Go.
And which one is your favorite?
I think
Lambo, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's just everybody, you know, when I entered the space in 2016, that was like the epitome of the crypto trader, you know. If you could buy yourself a Lambo with your gains, then you were like, you're the influencer to follow. and it also completely embodies the why there's such a big interest in the crypto sphere from the beginning. It's those, you know, those financial gains, everything that we try in our podcast to not go after, you know, all the cheap and easy stuff. So yeah, I don't know if there's a better way to embody how how the cryptosphere was in the previous years than with the description when Lambo.
So much said with just two words.
Memes should not be underestimated. They gave birth to one of the strongest coins on the market, something revolutionary, something that defined blockchain in a way that no other coin has defined since Bitcoin, actually. So it inspired Vitalik, it inspired everybody, and it inspired me to be better as a person when I saw this coin. So memes are not to be underestimated.
And it might be the first coin to go to the moon, actually.
actually go to the moon. Yeah, no, I mean it's very good for you know, recognition and adoption, so I think that memes definitely contributed to the rise and fall of crypto, and I hope to see many more, but yeah, when Lambo is just never gonna be replaced. It's just a good and olden goldie.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite?
From the ones he said, I think the most random and the most idiotic one is when Satoshi. So that's my favorite also. It reminds me of me. So I can resonate with this meme.
You find it more stupid and more random than the others?
Yeah.
How come?
Well, you know, with the Lambo, it's at least people buying themselves actual Lambo. So it's plausible. It's kind of measurable. You can imagine. But when Satoshi, like, do you expect Satoshi to be kind of scrolling the internet and he sees it? He's like, you know, this really inspires me to share my identity with the world.
I see what you mean. Okay. Fair enough. All right. And to continue on this, I would like to talk to you about something that I think most of you have already heard of, but just because I finally decided to dive in the story and I find it hilarious in a very sad way, because obviously a lot of people lost money on this. But I assume you guys have already heard of the influencer Logan Paul.
Who hasn't?
Yeah.
The YouTube legend.
YouTube legend. But you know, I learned so much about him. I didn't know that he had like 23 million followers and that he became partly famous because of how controversial he was. And so basically, what a lot of people didn't know, which I didn't know also, is that before this crypto zoo scam of his, he was involved in three other scammy projects. And he made so much money out of it, like six figures from each of them. So the first one was ElonGate back in May 2021. And yeah, basically a video of him leaked where he was like, yeah, guys, I made so much money with this crypto, I'm going to get rich. And yeah, obviously people bought it, and then basic pump and dump. He did that twice in the scope of 1 month. So that also, I think, says about that. It's mean to say this, but the type of people who follow these things, because I mean, it happens twice, you know.
Would you go as far as to say that it's
me,
not
one time, shame on you.
It's not really his fault.
Put the blame on you.
It's really the people who buy those kind of
but
stuff.
But then fool me three times. Fuck a peace sign. Load the chopper.
Yeah, but this is the genius of his ploy. His content was actually marketed to children, like minor people who are minors, which is one of the reasons why it's even more egregious that he did the bump and dump scheme.
Because the thing is that his third scam was not the Crypto Zoo. It was not even the third. There was another one before that, because basically he was a catcher, a fighter. So he was fighting against Floyd Mayweather, which is one of the biggest icons in the sport, and he got sponsored by a company called Ethereum Max, which has nothing to do with Ethereum, obviously. Yeah, again, so much visibility and so many people supported that shitcoin. So, you know, when he comes back in the same year, or maybe just a couple months later, to say, okay, guys, I'm launching my NFT, there's already something that smells a little bit fishy. And yet, yeah, it happened. the scam, and but this time he's going to be sued. He got accused by the justice, and there's going to be legal action against this. So, finally.
Yeah, but how much is finally. He going to get sued for? Like, he made how much money out of this? And he's how much is he going to pay as reparation?
Dude, I don't know. I have no idea. But the craziest thing is that he continues saying that he's going to invest in the game, that the development of the game is still going to happen, and that he's going to refund the victims of the scam, and it was not his fault. And I think this is kind of the same spiral that you see over and over again in each of his scams, is that he always makes it kind of seem like it's not his fault for each and single one, but he's actually very, very involved in the creation of them. For example, the second one, it was a coin, I think, called Fuck Elon. And yeah, he was one of the main investors in this coin. And he was like, yeah, you know, guys, I had no idea. Kind of, yeah, very fishy.
Plausible deniability. That's what they call that in legal terms. I think after doing so many scams, he kind of knows how to kind of tread the waters and make sure that he can't be held completely liable. I think that's one of the reasons why he's still saying that he's going to invest, because once he adamantly says he doesn't or he won't, then he'll be legally obliged to, or it'll be way easier to get him in front of a court and get him convicted. So,
for sure.
But again, this episode has a theme here, which is that it's just such a new space that you can. You know, it's the Wild West out there, and you really need to be careful with who you trust with your money, essentially, which is, again, basically the whole premise and the whole point of especially Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies in general. You know, the ownership, but also, you know, you also take part in the blame if you're too dumb to, you know, choose the right person or the right project to back, then that's your fault. It's your money. Yeah, you put it there. Nobody else did it. So, yeah.
Yeah. And actually, I guess it's not even only with your money that you have to be careful, because we're going to talk about crimes in the metaverse. So I assume you also have to be careful with your avatar or with, I don't know, Mitko, tell us more.
Yeah. I was super interested in the topic of crimes in the metaverse, because the first time I saw it, I was like, can you get mugged in the metaverse? Like, somebody comes and shakes your avatar and you're like, no, leave me alone, leave me alone, stop it.
And shakes, I was like, your avatar.
Yeah, I was like, probably won't look exactly like that, or somebody kind of takes a knife out at you in the metaverse. But again, probably not.
Like, somebody comes, you come back to your screen and you see like another avatar with his hand in your pocket.
No, actually, Europol released a very interesting paper on the topic. They were like, you know, with the development of blockchain technology right now, Meta is investing a lot of money, Microsoft has invested, Nvidia has invested so much money into developing their own personal metaverses, and you have those crazy statistics saying that a quarter of people using the internet are going to be using the metaverse in 2030. And so hype is real, hype is big. And as we see with every technology that comes around the corner, also the possibility of fraud, tricking people, holding a knife in the metaverse. But yeah, I thought it was just an interesting topic. So I guess right off the bat, how do you imagine crime in the metaverse? Exactly. I'm curious, what do you think?
I imagine someone harassing you, I guess. Verbally, mostly, or stealing your things, or stealing your original ideas and selling them. I don't know. For example, let's say you have an avatar and you decide to make it look a special way with some very special features, and then you have someone who kind of makes themselves. Oh yeah, like identity theft, kind of. Oh, it's very difficult to imagine, because you can verify the identity of someone. That's the whole point of within blockchain.
Yeah, I think, like, first it'll be it, it Yeah, I think it'll be easier to imagine when, you know, transfer between players of assets becomes way more easier because of blockchain. But I also imagine that because of the metaverse will have a lot of things that are okay.
Is the metaverse police?
It's a metaverse police, yeah. No, it's real police. Okay. So I imagine that because there's a lot of stuff that will be brought into the metaverse that is actually, you know, exists in real life, that there might be a lot of scams that might, you know, make you like buy the digital item and then the real world item isn't attached to it, or vice versa, where you buy the real item and you thought you were getting it in a metaverse or that kind of stuff. But it's just something that you don't think about, you know, because it's, you know, if it's not written in the code that somebody can steal your things in game, then you can't steal them. But I guess with blockchain and the developments that we have in both technologies around the metaverse and blockchain, there's going to be a lot of opportunity for people to scam each other.
I also think of another way that could potentially be really dangerous is people using the metaverse as a space for hate or hatred. So basically, I'm thinking of extreme rightist movements using avatars to kind of reproduce in the metaverse and hold speeches of hatred. And maybe that these are spaces where they could foment things that could be implemented in the real world. Because at the end of the day, what can you say to people who gather, like, because for example, if you go to the US, it's forbidden, right? It's forbidden to do such things. But if you go to the metaverse, there is no state. Who says what's right or wrong, what's forbidden, what's accepted? So it's a little bit tricky, I guess.
I think that's a fun topic because the metaverse isn't really a place, right? So which regulations do you follow? In Europe, we have the GDPR. The United States have their own regulation. Actually, every country has their own view on, first of all, data, because from my point of view, data is going to be the most valuable good in the metaverse. I guess the worst thing that could happen is somebody stealing your private keys or you being tricked into giving them, for example, just because you're not informed, just because somebody's pretending to be your friend. Second of all, from a purely law perspective, how are you going to take somebody to court if something happens in the metaverse? In which country are you actually going to take somebody to court? It's a super interesting question. And how are you going to monitor, you know, because Stella said that right now in the real world, we have the police, right? Everything happens physically, but in the metaverse, do you want like a place where everything is monitored? So for example, everybody tracks the information so that they can regulate it, or do you want a place that's not monitored, but then you run the risk of a lot of fraud, you run the risk of harassment. Mm-hmm. Think of school kids, for example, how they get harassed in chats and in forums, and it leads to suicide. It's actually a real issue. Now imagine that in the metaverse, it can really be taken up to a level.
I mean, at the end of the day, we go back to this eternal dilemma between more freedom and more security, right? Because on the metaverse, I mean, it will depend on the metaverses, right? But I assume we would go towards the more decentralized ones. And then, you know, there's no reporting button there, or maybe there will be kind of reporting button and a DAO that is responsible to monitor activity. But then how do you make sure that it's fair? Because again, some things that might be fair for our societies might not be judged fair for other societies. And then it's the whole, yeah.
And why would we go towards the centralized? It could be that we go towards more centralized. Keep in mind the mainstream that usually kind of leads how people what they choose.
Yeah.
So the metaverse that attracts the most people will probably attract even more people because you want to go to a place that's inhabited.
For sure. More definitely.
Yeah, it's a really, really interesting questions. And as always, you know, law will be far behind. So I guess just like Web3 and just like crypto, The metaverse will be a wild west in the beginning, where we'll see who wins and who loses, and everybody needs to be careful when they're early adopters of new technology. And so I think it might be sensible to shield miners, for example, for using the metaverse, especially for metaverse builders, because they don't want to be exposed to any lawsuits that regards any miners, people who aren't 18, not miners, as Bitcoin miners or whatever. So yeah, it's a really interesting topic, and again, I think it just comes with maturing that those questions will be answered. Like, it'll take time.
It would be great to have somebody on our podcast who can shed some light on which direction are we going right now with the metaverse from a legal perspective. I think it would be really interesting. Or even from a police perspective, like, how are you going to monitor that? Even Europol, how do they actually plan to monitor things? Because I'm sure that there are already people making up plans for that. So it would be really interesting to see some insights into that.
Let's reach out
yes.
to them.
So if you are a listener and you've heard us talk about this subject and you know somebody, or you think you know somebody who knows somebody, please let them know and send them over to us. It's info@blockchainpractitioners.com or one of our names at blockchainpractitioner.com. And we would love to talk to them about this this topic.
Do you have time for one more topic or...
Oh, of course, yeah. Go for it.
Okay, I'll try to be short and not too technical, but I would like to have your opinion, if you have one, because it's quite a technical one. So basically, did you know that we could do NFTs on Bitcoin?
No,
I did not.
Funny, because actually this is possible for a while now, but the topic has emerged and is becoming trendy again, because as you know, when you create an NFT, usually it's the property of the NFT, the ownership of the NFT that you have that is on chain. The NFT itself is not. However, there are a few upgrades in Bitcoin in 2017 SegWit and 2021 Taproot that made it around 75% and 10% respectively cheaper and easier to store data in single transactions. And basically, there is a new type of NFT that has emerged, and the name, let me find, because I forgot how it's called. I'm such an amazing reporter, am I not? Yes.
The best, the very best.
And now we're introducing the Ordinals NFT. And basically, that type of NFT allows you to store the whole NFT on-chain. I'm not going to go into the details of how it's possible, but it's quite amazing because basically this makes it approximately 7 times cheaper to do it through Bitcoin than through Ethereum. And this raises a lot of like a big debate between in the community, in the Bitcoin community, because some people think that it's amazing, that it's going to give traction to the Bitcoin chain again, and that the more use cases, the better, right? Because then the more people use it. And other people think maybe a more conservative approach, that Bitcoin is made only for financial transactions, and that such use cases, although they're really great and innovative, they actually take a lot of storage still on the network. And it's basically a waste. It's a waste of the storage of nodes, of Bitcoin nodes. So that's quite interesting to see that the community is getting divided, although both updates that have made this change possible have been voted by the community. So basically the majority gave their approval for these updates, but I guess not everyone kind of knew or anticipated what would come out of them. And basically the argument of people who are in favor of this or more neutral is that whatever happens, basically since it was voted by the community, should be respected. And that Bitcoin is made to be censorship resistant. So if people want to use it for their NFTs, whatever the NFT is, they should be able to use it for this. I think this is a super interesting debate. And I'm looking forward to see how the NFT industry is going to grow from this. If we're going to see more marketplaces dedicated to Bitcoin NFTs, or how the community is going to divide regarding this. So yeah.
That's really interesting. I think like every update, there's always people who are against it. But I think that ingraining your whole NFT inside the chain might be a very good way to kind of defend against claims that NFTs are worthless.
Exactly.
Because sometimes when you buy an NFT, all you actually buy is like a link to a place where the JPEG is stored, or you know, that kind of stuff. And so I think it's a really interesting use case, although I think that the Bitcoin chain, Bitcoin will become too valuable to do this with, and so it will return to being used as just a monetary or a store of value coin. But I think that this might be a very good first development that will find its way to other chains and to make NFTs way, way more secure than they are now.
Totally.
So that's how I look at it.
Totally agreed. And since it's so valuable, I think that maybe the NFTs that will be stored on Bitcoin will be most valuable things. So not necessarily your typical JPEG, but I don't know, maybe some certificates of value, diplomas, or the like, things that really have a lot of value and need to be preserved. Art and JPEGs are not valuable. I think they can be valuable, but I share your opinion, Steven. And I really wanted to finish up on this note because we talked a lot about scams and and potential legal issues and meme. And although this is all part of the Web3 culture, I think that it's great to also underline the current progresses and developments of technology.
Of course, that's what makes it such an interesting industry, where every week we have some new technology, and we can take notes on some old ones.
Exactly.
All right.
So I think, guys, that's a wrap. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Blockchain Practitioners Podcast. Please like, share, and rate this episode. Leave comments with your opinions about different topics that we mentioned. And looking forward to seeing you again.
What she said. Peace out.
Peace
yeah,
out.
Yeah, what she said. Peace out.
Drop the mic.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Blockchain Practitioners Podcast, and we hope you learned something useful and new about the blockchain technology and digital currency today. If you're involved in an interesting blockchain project and would like to talk about it in a similar fashion to the episode you just listened, feel free to reach out to us. Also, please like, rate, and review this podcast, and share our content with everyone you think would like it. If you'd like more information on this project, you can visit our LinkedIn page or our website at theblockchainpractitioners.com. Thank you again for listening, and see you at the next episode.